And so we come to this through the name, as I say, called the Jealous God. It seems to be an obscure and, you know, it's easy to be misunderstood, I suppose. And my opening text, it's not the one that you've got before you. We'll read that in a moment. It tells us in Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 25, "Therefore saith the Lord God, now I will bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and be jealous for my holy name." That God would be jealous for his holy name. So we're dealing with a jealous God. And you know, this in the Old Testament, I don't think we find it in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, that phrase or phrases similar to that are mentioned time and time and time again, that God is a jealous God. And when something's mentioned a number of times, then it's for us to take notice. It's of vital importance to us. So the theme of God being a jealous God is frequently mentioned in the Scripture. So again, it's important for us to take note of what it says, but also to make reference to understand what God is referring to when he calls himself jealous. Okay, let's turn to that passage. I ask you to open up. I want us to look at a number of references. I won't be asking you to turn to your Bible for every one of them. I'll read them because they're only short verses. I want you to read the first one. From Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. God says, "Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, I'm a jealous God. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." That is repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7 and 9, because it's a repetition of the Ten Commandments. But also in Exodus 34 and verse 14, it says this, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." So we have that, don't we, that God's name is jealous. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 24, it says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire." We use that quite often, don't we? The Lord our God is a consuming fire. That is repeated in the New Testament. But here we, added to that, we have this statement, "even a jealous God." In Deuteronomy 6, verse 14, "You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest you anger the Lord thy God, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." And when we reach Joshua chapter 24 and verse 19, we read this statement, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your trespasses nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve other gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he has done you good." So those are the references I'm using tonight, but they are representative of all the texts where the name or the statement about God being a jealous God are found. But before I move any further, because it's part of my studies tonight, it's part of what we're talking about, what's the connection? You tell me what the connection is between the jealous God and whatever you see in those passages. What is the thing that is mentioned all of the time?
Idolatry.
Idolatry, okay. It's worshipping other gods. So then it means that we have to take the name of God being jealous, or that God is a jealous God, in connection with idolatry. And when we bring it to that understanding, when we find the reasons for God being called jealous, then we can understand what the word means itself. The word jealous in English, in our modern understanding of the word, means it's something wrong. I mean, to be, have you ever had something, and I mean, especially as kids, we have done it, where we've got something and we can see the green-eyed monster in someone else's eyes, you know, other kids' eyes, and we say, oh, we are only jealous. And we know it's a bad thing to be jealous of another person. We link the word jealousy with envy and with selfishness. So when we find this text in Scripture, jealous God, it's easy for us to take from our modern understanding of the word and implant that into the text, that God is envious, God is selfish. I mean, what's God talking about? I'm a jealous God, and I'll consume you if you don't do what I tell you to do. But God's jealousy is not the same as man's negative understanding of it. It's not a negative emotion. In fact, his jealousy speaks of something very positive. And when we see it from that point of view, when we see it as a positive thing, that it will speak more to our souls. What does it do? Okay, you told me, Tarquin has told me about the idolatry part. Now I want you to go one stage further, because I want you to think this through yourself before I go further with it and explain it to you. We've got God being jealous God. We understand it's in connection with idolatry. What is the third thing? What is the reason why God is saying this? We know why he's saying it because of idolatry, but what is the reason making the connection between the two? It's more than that.
No.
It's more than that. Yeah, but it's more than that. It's more than love. It's more than service. There is a word I want you to figure out for yourself, that if you are protective and you are you love your family, you could be jealous over your family. Yeah, we could say it's being faithful.
Possessive.
But there's
possessive.
But there's something important there. Would you be possessive? Would you be faithful? Would you serve someone that was not a member of your immediate family? I know you could say, well, the church is the family of God, but I'm speaking as within the natural now, from the point of view as our human. Okay, that's the word then. It's to do with relationship. God is possessive, and that's exactly what I've got written down in my notes. He's got possessive love for his people, because it links his relationship between us and him. We have a relationship with God, and he is jealous over us. He's jealous for his people. It's not that he's jealous of himself. I mean, jealousy is a personal thing. If I'm jealous, then it's me that's jealous, not the other person. But God is jealous for you and for me, for all of his people. He was jealous over the Jews, even though they were so disobedient and they needed to be given the Ten Commandments to keep them in line with his will. But he loved them with a possessive love. So when we read God's word, we should always read it in context with what is being said. And when we do that, we quickly realize, especially as we've read tonight, that there is a connection with relationship, our relationship, his relationship with us. He doesn't want, the whole point of idolatry being brought up every single time in those texts is to say to us, he doesn't want that relationship broken. The relationship is broken when a person becomes idolatrous. And that idolatry can be a number of things. In the New Testament, idolatry can be covetousness, can't it? Which is another form of, what is that, envy? To be lusting after something that somebody else has got, or you want more in your life. You can break the relationship with God by doing foolish things, by doing the things that the world do. I mean, there is a new channel on TV, on Freeview Television, it's Christian. So I recorded it because, you know, the way this country goes, they'll put it on, but they don't want you to watch it. So it comes on at 5 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock. So I decided to record it and record some of the parts of the program, or some programs. But, it's called Daystar, I think. And I watch the Daystar singers, and the guy gets up, Christian guy singer, and he's covered in tattoos. And you know the new tattoos. But the Bible says that do not print anything upon your skin, and it's a form of idolatry. It's what pagans did, even in Moses' day, to show that they were not following the true God, but they were following a false God. And we see more and more Christians receiving tattoos and piercings and all the things. I'm not talking about these in here, earrings. I'm talking about other parts of the body, which is crazy. But that's all idolatrous. And that can, but it's also a sign that it breaks relationship with God. So he doesn't want the relationship to be broken by mixing faith, love for him, with other things, and especially other religions. One of the themes of Scripture is that God watches over his people. He watches over everything. He watches over everything that belongs to him, and he watches over everybody that belongs to him. And you know something else, what that word watch means? It doesn't mean he just looks at, but he guards. Read the Psalms, and how many times in the Psalms you hear God being a fortress, a mighty tower, that he puts a guard around us. We're meant to belong to God. We're meant to belong to him. We're not meant to belong to another. We're not meant to share our relationship that we have with God with another person. Otherwise, there's a fourth thing here in those texts. And tell me what it is. Again, okay, you've been good up to now. You told me two of the things. What's the fourth thing? I said the first one, that God is jealous. It came out that it's talking about idolatry, and then it's a relationship between God and you. That's the third thing. So if idolatry is there and the relationship is broken, what is the fourth thing that comes out in the text?
Judgment.
Judgment, okay. Or I want to call it anger. The anger of God is a consuming fire. We saw that a number of times there. Joshua even said to God's people, you can't serve the Lord. They basically said later, we will. We'll serve the Lord. We'll serve him. But later on in the history of Israel, we find out, in fact, very quickly, that they didn't. Instead of seeing jealousy as an unattractive trait, we should see it as another facet of God's love, God's faithfulness, God's mercy, God's compassion towards us. And this is the point, that the one who places his name upon us wants to share with us everything that he has. He wants to share with us his goodness, his mercy, his love, his compassion, and all the rest of it. If he places his name on you, it means that you belong to him. And that's what he's jealous over. So he's jealous for his name, of course, because the scripture says that, and I can't twist that to make it as though it's all because of love for us. He's jealous over his name. His name is holy. It keeps telling us that, doesn't it? It tells us that God is of pure eyes than to behold evil. So God's name can't be brought into the dust. It can't be dragged through the mire, and it can't be connected with false religion or any pagan thing. So I could say it this way, that God treasures his name, and he won't allow his name to be used in any other way. And that, you might say to yourself, well, as Christians, we would never do that. We would never use his name in a way that would dishonor him. We would never use the name of Jesus to use it in other gods and say, well, all those gods are just the same God as the God we serve. And yet, we know that to be true, don't we? We know in organized religion, or I should say in state religion, that's exactly what they do think, that all the gods are the same. It doesn't matter which God you serve, because we're all serving the same God, but that God is called different names. Well, guess what? God says, my name is jealous. And he wants his name to be kept as his name. He treasures his name, and it will not allow it to be abused or dishonored in any way. Israel, the Jews don't have idolatry today, and they learned the hard way, didn't they? You won't find a Jewish house with idols in it, not idols of Moses or Joshua or anybody else in Scripture. You won't find things like that. It's because early in their lives and for thousands of years they kept creeping back to idolatry. And you see what happened, don't you, as you read the text, as you read the scripture, they keep breaking their relationship with God by going over to idolatry. And what does God do? He pours out his judgments upon them. And I wonder if we find ourselves in the same situation as Israel today because of idolatry in our own lives. In Israel, they very quickly came to idolatry. And you know what they did? They started using the name of Baal or Molech or some other god and connecting it with the God of Israel. So that it was the same God. If you worship Baal and you worship Jehovah, it was the same God. There's no difference. That's what man thought, and that's what man thinks, religionists think today. But God doesn't think that. Those who mix God, the God of the Bible, with so-called other gods are walking on very dangerous ground. And I want to say to you, and it might sound very judgmental, but I can only state what Scripture says. They're not saved. And while they think like that and practice anything like that, they are not saved. So people who worship images, who pray to images, it doesn't matter how moral they are not saved, and they can never be saved until the idolatry is given up. But I keep saying, what about us? Idolatry is not just creating images to worship God, which is an abomination to him anyway, but there are other ways of being idolatrous. I've mentioned one, and that is being covetous. And I think the prosperity movement that we knew in the past, and I don't know much about it today, I don't know what they're doing, I'm not really interested, but I suppose it's very much the same. The prosperity movement, they just teach people to be idolatrous by wanting money and riches and all the rest of it. But that will be a judgment against them. And what about this breaking the covenant with God? What was one of the things we read at the beginning is that God's name is holy. That we don't take the name of the Lord our God in vain. The Bible tells us in one of the commandments, we don't take the name of the Lord our God in vain. So you and I know we wouldn't be walking around saying, oh God, or oh Jesus, and you know, we don't say things like that. But you know, we can also take God's name in vain by not living up to his name that he's put upon us. By not living the Christian life, by doing things that we ought not to do, by being part of the world system, and having the world's thinking on things instead of the Lord's thinking. Listen to this in Galatians 5, verse 19. Yeah, sure, idolatry is mentioned there and all the other nasty things, but look at all of them. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery. You know, that is one of the major things that is happening in the Christian church today, is idolatry and people don't see anything wrong in it. You know, I know of one person, he actually stood as a counselor in our area over the last elections, and he's supposed to be a Christian. He's living with a woman who's had children with. He's a member of the BNP, although he's got a coloured wife. Don't ask me. I don't even understand that one. And he's condemned the Jews. He stood up in churches and shouted down preachers who speak about the Jews. And yet he claims to be a Christian. He stands as a Christian. Okay, I'm going to leave that thought with you. But then fornication, that's connected to that. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Okay, we know all those things are wrong. But what about hatred? Well, we hate people. We have this dislike, disdain for them. Yeah, I'm not saying we can't be annoyed with people, that we can't dislike what they do. But there's one thing about Christianity is that we don't hate the people who hate us, who do things against us. We're not like false religion that will kill you if you don't stand with them or you speak against what they believe. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. And then, funny enough, we have this word envyings, murders, I don't think many Christian churches would house people who are murderers. But what about drunkenness? No, that is sure going on in Christian churches. The drunkards are there. I'm not talking about people who come off the streets and come into the church and come in for a free meal or a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or something like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who are members of churches and yet they will go and drink and booze like the rest. And then revelings, which is partying, going to parties all the time. That's all they want is parties. And such like, which Paul means, I can add lots more to that, and we can. I wonder what the such likes are going to be. You know, I'm pretty sure if Paul added all the such likes, we'd be on the floor repenting over our sin. Okay? Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And you know the amazing thing I read recently in a book from a Reformed position? It twists that. You read that, don't you? And you understand what that means. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They twist it to mean you'll not inherit the riches of the kingdom of God, which means you'll go to heaven. If you can do any of those things, you'll still go to heaven, but you'll not be blessed in heaven. You'll not have the riches of Christ. What a disgrace that is. That is a twist of Scripture. So we know the reasons why God has told us that his name is jealous. But what are the results of this? If God's name is jealous, if he is jealous over his name and his people, it means we have to honor him in the way that he expects. And God has laid down the standard. It's not that he set a rule, a narrow rule, and say, you've got to walk this way, and if you deviate from it, then I will curse you, I will pour my anger and wrath upon you. You've got to stay within these limitations. Sure, the limitations are there, but it's not for him, it's for you. Because he can only bless you in accordance to his holiness and his righteousness and faithfulness and mercy. If you go beyond that, he can't bless you. If you go into idolatry or any of those things mentioned, then the blessing stopped. Why did the blessing stop? Because the relationship is broken. And that's all it is. The relationship is broken. So God is a jealous God. He's jealous over us, but he wants us to serve him and honor him the way that he expects. And in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're told the way we ought to honor God. And there are too many texts for me to speak of tonight, but we worship God in spirit and in truth, the Bible tells us. We walk in newness of life. We walk in holiness. We walk in the way that God expects us to, in accordance to what we read in Scripture. And let me read this text to you as a representative text of the whole. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. So we could almost put there, don't we? Can't we? That God is jealous over us. God knows those that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, means that God is jealous over his name. He's put his name upon us. We are called what we called Christians. Whoever names the name of Christ, that's not people who just say, oh, I believe in Jesus. But those who live the Christian life, we name the name of Christ. We put the name of Christ on our lips and we put the name of Christ in our character. And let them, everyone that names the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. You can't have the name of Christ, you can't have the blessings of the name of Christ, if you're intent on doing the things that the world do. That's found in 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. It means then, doesn't it, that we have to be careful about the way we live for him, that we don't live for him by living like the world. But we represent him to the world. We take his name to the world and show them that we are different. That our understanding of life is different. We've got a different worldview than the world. I mean, the world looks at something and they don't know if it's black or white. But we do, because we've got standards. They don't know if it's right or wrong. But we do, because we've got standards. There are no absolutes in the world. It's all relative. It's relative to your understanding of your situation at that present time. How you think. But you know, it's not what we think, it's what God thinks that matters. And when we line our thoughts up with his thoughts, then things work right. By giving, by living ungodly lives, we are actually taking the name of the Lord in vain. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. To defile the name of God, defiling the name of God, I should say, is sinful. Doesn't it grate on you when you hear people taking God's name in vain? You know, it's people use the name Jesus all the time, or they might shorten it to Jesu, or whatever they, what they say. You know, the name of God is reduced. You know, just a thought, and I want you to be careful about it. We won't swear, will we? We won't use the curse words that the people would use. But let's not use alternatives, because it means exactly the same thing. Okay, so let's not, when things go wrong, say, oh, forgive me, but I'm going to do it. It's not an expletive in really, but we can use it as an expletive because it's intended exactly the same way as, oh, sugar. Why do we need to say that? Listen, do we need to say, oh, gosh? You know, that's a derivative of the name God. I heard somebody recently, and I felt like pulling them up, but you know, you've got to be careful with some people, but you've got to be careful of your own life. And people say, by Jove. Well, where does Jove come from? Think it through for a moment. Jehovah. So let's be careful how we say things. Let's not use alternatives like the world. We don't need it. We bang our thumb. We don't say have to say some stupid word. We can say, I remember years ago in the church, this is one of the first times we dug up the floor. And you know, many times I've got under there and you've seen pictures of that. But I've done that many times before on the floors. And I remember, anyway, the first time we did it, just bang a nail into it. And I went, bang, and my thumb, and I went, ouch. And it was a loud ouch. I'm not shouting because it might. But, you know, the person who was there with me said, you must be a Christian. Yeah, he's joking, of course. You must be a Christian because I might have said something else than that. So we don't need to use alternative words. So it's easy words to use to if things go wrong. Hey, just a thought, that one. Do we realize that we dishonor God's name by failing to speak up for him before others? That's one to think of, isn't it? Whose name do we go in? Go in my name, Jesus said. Go into all the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. To not speak up for him and not tell the world about him reveals a lack of faith on our part, and that we do not have a sure relationship with him. There is something wrong with our relationship with God. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The Bible tells us we should not be embarrassed about being Christians. It's like, you know, and think about this. It's like you get married. The marriage is all in secret, but you wouldn't seem dead on the street with your husband and wife because they're so ugly and, you know, people would laugh at you if you walked down the road with them. Now, whose fault is that? The person who might not be beautiful, or is it yours because of your observation, the way you feel? You know, love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of imperfections. And if we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and strength, and fail, and claim we serve him like that, but fail to speak for him, then we must be embarrassed about him. Have we ever felt embarrassed about in company when they're talking evolution stuff and atheist stuff, and we say, oh, I better say I'm a Christian because they might laugh at me? You know something? When they're laughing at you, they're laughing at God. And who's the one who's the consuming fire? Well, it's the same one who's jealous over his name. And it's the same one who honors, protects, and guards, and finds his people precious. It's the same one who's put his name upon you. So let God deal with the issue. You know, we might not be able to fight all our fights, but it's like when you, I didn't have a big brother, but the cartoons and stories, I'm sure it happens in real life. You know, a kid gets bullied in school and says, "I'll get my big brother onto you," or "I'll get my dad onto you." That's the one we would normally say, "I'll get my dad onto you." It's because we have a relationship with that person. We know that they would sort the situation out because we would speak that name, because we've got faith in that person. So we should have faith in a relationship with God. So yeah, we wouldn't use his name as a curse word. But let us not overlook using his name in everyday life with godly living. So we won't take his name in vain with our words, that's for sure. But let's not take his name in vain through our actions and by the way we live. So God's jealousy has to do with the covenant relationship he has made with those who trust in him. And that's the whole point of the God being a jealous God. How can we not be willing to serve him, to honor him, to glorify him? How can we not stand up for him when his name is being ridiculed, when his name is being bandied about like a curse word, when people find it easy in this generation to curse the name of Jesus, condemn Jesus? You know, something that proves to me that the faith that we hold, the faith in Jesus Christ, is the true and only faith, because they do not condemn Muhammad, they do not condemn Krishna, they do not, and I'm not going to go to all the gods, they don't condemn them. They're not condemned on soap operas, are they? Or in films. It's not those gods that are condemned. It's the God we serve that is condemned. So which one does Satan hate? Certainly not the gods he's created, but the true God he hates. That's the name that is taken and dragged through the mud. But let us not allow his name to be cursed and ridiculed and abused, because his name saves sinners. Allah won't save anybody. Christians doesn't save anybody. It's all by works. And then even then, they're not sure. Mary can't save anybody because it's all by works. And go through all the list of the idols and the gods and demigods and all the rest of it. You can't save. It's all by works. But only the God we serve can save the soul. It tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other, what's the word? Name. Under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved, none other. No other name. So let's not mix his name with any other God. Sure, we wouldn't do that. But let's also proclaim that this is the only name by which people can be saved. All who honor God, all who dishonor God, who will not live for God, I should say, are doomed to eternal destruction. But those who live for Christ are going to inherit eternal life. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 24, it says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." That's not to make us scared, but it's to thrill our hearts and to keep us away from the danger. Every parent says to his or her children, keep away from the fire. Of course, they will try. And there's been many a burnt hand by not doing what I'm thinking of one person in particular here, not being careful, by doing things that shouldn't be done, by not being obedient. God says, keep away from the fire. Why would you tell a person to keep away from the fire? Because you care for them. And if they're your children, because you love them, you don't want them to be hurt. So our God is a consuming fire, because he's jealous over his name, because he's put his name upon us, and he's jealous over you and me. So what a wonderful God we serve when we look at it from that point of view. It's not a nasty word then, is it? Jealousy, in this context, it's actually a very positive and powerful expression and understanding of the name of God.